Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason. My name's Braden Gall. Marquise Munson hanging out with us here on a Friday as well, producing back there. The new text line, by the way, the new text line will be very, very important to people here momentarily, although it's already quite entertaining. 737, same number, 615-737-1025. However, we will be giving away a pair of tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl on the text line. I will ask you a question coming up next segment. And when I ask you that question, the first person to text us the correct answer will get two tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. How about that?
Not while driving.
615-737-1025 for your text messages. Open, and you can kind of comment about whatever you want. We've had music takes. We've had Stillman takes. We've had sports takes, hockey takes, football takes, all your takes.
Give
on
a
on the text message.
Well, shout out to Jeremy K. Gover, who brings in Goody Mob and also Cypress Hill. I mean, I spent some time listening to some Cypress Hill
in the
90s.
Point. We spent a lot of time talking about music last segment. Most all of the revolution, though, took place on the West Coast, which, of course, is where the Tennessee Titans are headed this weekend against the Oakland Raiders. And they've had this weird record on the West Coast. They're 5-17 since moving to the state of Tennessee as an organization on the West Coast. 2-3 against Oakland in Oakland. 1-3 at Seattle. 1-2 at San Francisco. 1-2 at Arizona. And of course, 0-7 against the Chargers. In multiple spots now. Also, they've also figured out a way to lose in a different continent to the Chargers. Also, they can lose everywhere to the Chargers, although they did win this year. 5-17. Do you make anything of that number? Does it have any impact on the game this weekend? Are we making too much of it?
It doesn't. I don't think it has an impact on the game. Are we making too much of it? Yeah, but I mean, you know, it's a pretty big number. I think the Chargers thing seems to be some weird thing, and you know, sometimes that just happens between franchises, you know, because there have been years when the Titans have been better than the Chargers have still lost them. That's actually one of the best Marcus Mariota games I've ever seen, by the way, was 2016 at San Diego, still San Diego. And he was – I remember leaving that day saying, that guy is going to be a star in this league. Now, he threw a pick six that was big in the loss. Yeah. But it was a you know, really entertaining. It's not like they played well in that game they lost. Last time they had the trip out there, it was like, man, you know, they tried the whole thing where they just move out west for you know, 10 days and try to handle it, and they just lay two eggs out there. But it should, as Teron Davenport said earlier, and you said earlier, it should be more of an impact on the west teams coming east than the other way around.
It's basically like a 1 o'clock kickoff for the Titans from a body clock standpoint, which I don't know how much that matters, but it should be fine. Like, listen, the Raiders have played two terrible football games. Their rushing defense is actually 11th in the NFL, so they're not terrible. But they've given up 74 points in the last two games against the Jets. It's one thing to give up 40 to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But 34 to the Jets, they've been terrible. So everything in this, I know the Titans are injured and banged up right now. I assume Derrick Henry, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries are going to go. I would assume A.J. Brown's going to give it a shot. I don't know about the secondary on defense. But I think, you know, the other players are mostly there. The offensive line's there. It'll be interesting to see how they play, because everything points to this is a situation where you control your own destiny, even though destiny is predetermined, whatever. you are in control of everything, and the Steelers don't – I don't think the Steelers are as good as you. You can chase down the Texans in the division. It's all right there in front of you, and the Raiders are playing terrible football. Don't screw it up. Don't overthink it.
But the Raiders playing terrible football, to me, is not good, because, you know, again, it's this league. They are still in it. They are a better-than-expected football team. The stadium is going to be nuts. All indications are you're talking about a full stadium, and it's the next to last time these Raiders fans can gather in Oakland. It's going to be a real home atmosphere for the Raiders. So the Raiders are going to bounce back and play better. You're going to be in a game here. But you should be able to continue to do some of the things that you've done consistently during this stretch, which is play solid defense, run Derrick Henry, and, you know, get efficient play from Ryan Tannehill. I do think the receiving core is a bit of a concern. I think you're right. Those guys are going to go. But, you know, if you're limited across the board there, what does that mean? You know, like a guy like Jonnu Smith, like to see him get a little bit more involved here.
In fact, I would have assumed after a couple of those really big games he had with Tannehill, you know, he was clearly Tannehill's safety valve against, I want to say it was the Chargers and Bucks, where he was clearly the focal point of his.
Yeah, a couple of those were schemed up, but yeah.
Of course. But the receivers never really clicked in. The first game, they were big. They had a big game. But then it kind of, and the thing is, I think A.J. Brown's leading the NFL in average yards per after the catch.
YAC.
Yak. Yeah. He's leading the NFL, I think, in yak, and that's going to be impacted by how well he can perform right now.
Exactly. So, I mean, look, I think it's going to be a really good, close football game. If the Titans can just not let Darren Waller, you know, destroy them. And then Josh Jacobs, I mean, you know, he's been hurt. He's still playing through it. I think he's been one of the surprises of the league this year. He's probably rookie of the year, right? He's a really good player. I mean, yeah. I'm trying to think of the last time a running back. I mean, really, help me out here. Last time a running back really
Saquon Barkley
gave the Titans a real problem.
I thought you were going to say. They're going to say rookie of the year.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah, last time a running back was an issue for the Titans.
Well, so here's how I would answer that.
They let some guys get loose late in games,
what I was going to say is Jordan Wilkins ripped off a 50-yard run that won them the game, basically. Leonard Fournette ripped off a 60-plus yard run that basically put that one away for Jacksonville. You know, the other one big plays that they gave up was Mecole Hardman to, you know, that was the jump pass from Patrick Mahomes. That was unbelievable, but that's a pass play. So there's been some big running plays that have had major impacts on games, but the last time a guy went 29 carries for 185 yards.
Like they couldn't stop a guy. When was the last time they couldn't stop a running back, you know?
Since before Dick LeBeau?
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, I can't.
We're probably wrong. There's probably something in there, but man, not much. For the most part, they are putting teams in the positions they want them in on third down. I think they will again in this game. And then it's, can you cover Darren Waller?
I do think Waller is going to be their biggest issue, and I'm as we're sort of like both perusing the interwebs right now. You know, defensively, this team hasn't given. It gave up 156 yards rushing to Carolina. So McCaffrey,
there you go. Okay,
But again, all of it kind of one big long chunk
play. In the third quarter. Yes.
But otherwise,
he was good, though. I mean, he was productive against them.
Yes.
You know, more than most backs are. He's great.
He's also Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
The Colts ran for 167 yards. Those are the only two times they've allowed more than 117 yards rushing all season. They're basically between, you know, 100 and 110 yards rushing. I think they're 10th in the NFL in rushing defense. That's this year. So McCaffrey's a good one. But again, stopping McCaffrey is virtually impossible. So Josh Jacobs is a great player. He's dealing with a fractured shoulder. So,
unbelievable.
But I don't know if I wouldn't put Josh Jacobs in the same category as Christian McCaffrey, and I'm a huge Josh Jacobs fan. I do not know why they don't throw him the football more. He is an excellent receiver. I'm wondering if now on a two-game losing streak, looking to spark things, can you get Jacobs out of the backfield and maybe throw him the football? If you're using Byard or Jayon Brown to stop Darren Waller, maybe there's space for a second guy to come out of the backfield and attack the middle of the field. Maybe Josh Jacobs is that guy. Again, I am shocked that John Gruden has not used that guy in the passing game more. He's got like 25 targets. Like, he is an exceptional pass catcher like Barkley and McCaffrey, and he's not used like that.
Well, especially with their receiving core. You know, I mean, it's not – I mean, they don't get a ton of production out of that. So, yeah, that is interesting. I mean, the Titans have to affect Derek Carr, and Derek Carr is capable – of having a big game. Derek Carr is capable of playing very, very well. You got to affect him in this game, which is a lot easier if you can keep Josh Jacobs, you know, under control.
We got SEC championship game and a bunch of big college football championship games coming up. We'll talk about those picks against the spread as well as the big finish. Want to remind everybody though that this is the season for giving, and 102.5 The Game is in the spirit. Donations for toys, winter clothing, and school supplies. We are accepting those now, right now at the station here at the Game Nashville Studios. Of course, 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here in Nashville. Donations will benefit our kids, which is, of course, the charity that I work for. That's the toys. We need toys because, again, we treat about 1,000 sexually abused children every single year across 47 counties in Middle Tennessee. And as terrifying as it is to think about, we cannot send them home with a lot of their stuff sometimes. Because sometimes it needs to be taken by police to actually be investigated forensically. So we have a giant toy closet that we have to try to we want to try to replace things for kids. So we need toys for the children that come through our kids. The winter clothing for the guys with Darren, Donick, and Chase do a great job taking care of the homeless. And Jared and the GM, all the school supplies help the Pencil Foundation. So please bring some stuff by today, this weekend, whatever. 1824 Murfreesboro Pike here, of course, out by the airport. So check that out. We have a trivia question and tickets to the Music City Bowl we're going to give away when we return. You're going to need to know the text line. We're going to give those away when we come back. Talk a little SEC championship game. What will the playoff rankings look like on Sunday? And picks against the spread. All that when we return. Welcome back, Morning Drive. I just got all the lyrics playing in my head right now. And it's very hard not to say them out loud into this microphone.
Yes.
Joe Rex, Red Brain Doll here on Morning Drive.
But please don't.
Yeah, I know. I know it's cliche, but it's the best rap song of all time. Hip-hop song? What should I say? Do I lose credibility by calling it a rap song?
No.
I don't have any credibility to lose anyway.
As long as you don't say the hippity hop or something like
that. Something random. That hippity hop that you young people are listening to these days?
How about album? That's up there. It's up there.
Oh, what? Best hip-hop album?
Yeah.
Oh, I would say, yeah. It might be the most influential hip-hop album of all time. Right? All right. We're giving away some stuff. Some free stuff. All right? So here's the deal. I'm going to give you guys instructions. Please show me how good you can be at following directions. Okay? Here's the deal. The new text line is up and running. We got this new bad boy up and running today. Okay? 615-737-1025. You can text us. We see all of the texts. The first person to answer this trivia question correctly will win two tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on Monday, December 30th. Hit up thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and play now. Of course, silly underdog picks as well. So, the first person to answer this question correctly, and if you do not get a response, Marquise, is this correct? If you do not get a response from Marquise, then don't send us another text message, right?
Yeah, you don't have to blow up the text.
Right, send us your one answer, and if you get it right and you're first, we will let you know. If you don't hear back from us, you didn't get the job, and that's it. Don't call us. We'll call you.
Yeah, right? I don't send the thanks for the consideration.
We
emails.
Are the University of Tennessee. You are Dave Doran in this situation. Okay? We're just going to ghost you. So, all right. Trivia question is very simple, and this is near and dear to Marquise's heart. Very simple. Who played in the very first Music City Bowl and who won? Give us the two teams and who won. First person right now, 615-737-1025, to text that answer correctly to Marquise will win two tickets to the Music City Bowl, which we were talking during the break may involve Tennessee. It may not involve Tennessee. And we were kicking around some of those ideas.
Yeah, I mean, they'd love them. I think the Vols will be in Jacksonville, but Bowls get together sometimes and
collude.
You know, yeah, well, they're allowed to sort of
sure
talk and
have conversations,
swap this for that or whatever. So I mean, Scott Ramsey would love to have the Vols here,
no question. And selfishly, I'd like to have him here, but also Georgia winning or losing could also affect this in the SEC championship game, because if Georgia wins, they get into the playoff. LSU stays in the playoff. Everybody moves up the pecking order, which makes it harder to get Tennessee to come to Nashville, correct?
Yes, no doubt. I think Tennessee could easily end up in Tampa in the Outback Bowl under that scenario.
Well, I'm going to start reading some of these. Auburn beat Purdue. Nope, incorrect. Auburn beat Washington. Incorrect. Vandy, UT. Just UT. No. Minnesota versus Bama. No. I think we got a winner, though. It took about 6 or 7 tries. But we got a winner. Is that correct, Marquise? Do you have a winner for the tickets to the Music City Bowl? Yeah, from Memphis. There you go. Okay, we got a winner. The answer is, I can give away the answer now? Is that Alabama got beat 38-7 by Virginia Tech.
By the Hokies, right.
By Virginia Tech. I don't believe Michael Vick was on that team. It was 98. I think Michael Vick was a redshirt freshman in 99 when they played in the national title.
So he was redshirting that year.
So he was, that's right. Technically, he was on the team, but he didn't play on that roster. So
right.
A lot of other people getting it correct after that, but you weren't first. Sorry, guys. Got to be fast on the trigger finger there. LSU, Georgia. I like Georgia's defense to play really well in this game. I know Joe Burrow has just been unstoppable, but I think Georgia is actually going to give LSU a really good run for their money in this one. If they keep it under 30, I think Georgia has a chance to win.
I agree. I mean, I think, honestly, if you're LSU, if you're an LSU fan and you're looking at the playoff because you know you're going to be in the playoff, I think you can say right now, Braden, that this is going to be the biggest test your offense will face the rest of the way. If you want to look at it that way. I don't think anyone in the playoff, and I know Clemson has a ton of talent, but I think Georgia has a better chance of being sound and solid and keeping the score down than anyone else LSU might play this year. I don't think Georgia will win, but I think that they have a better chance of anyone who they might see in the playoff.
So essentially Georgia's defense is better than Ohio State's defense and Clemson's defense is what you're saying?
Like, I like
Ohio, I'm not sure I'd agree with that.
Ohio State's defense, they have a top 5/10 cornerback. They have a number one pick worthy defensive end. They have a lot of overall talent.
Their linebacking core is not as good as Georgia's.
Yeah, like their safeties. I think Ohio State is prone to giving up more to an LSU than Georgia. I do think that. So I don't know if
I think
it's
Clemson's,
player if it's better, but I think that Georgia. I mean, look, you mentioned the results earlier. You know, they keep the score down week after week after week, even if they're not always the most flashy or exciting defense.
Georgia has given up one rushing touchdown all season. One. LSU's given up 12. They've given up, I believe, 20 trips into the red zone total all season. They've allowed 14 total touchdowns all season. I think Clemson is the one that gets underrated in this conversation.
And you may be right.
Defensively, I think Clemson is ridiculous. They've got elite-level talent on every level of the defense. The defensive line has come a long way after replacing all those guys last year.
That's the thing. They lost so much, but
Isaiah Simmons is an absolute beast in the middle. They've got good secondary speed and ability. Like, I think Clemson is, because everyone's looking at their resume and looking at their strength of schedule and saying, oh, Clemson's not that great. Who have they played? Just because you haven't played anybody doesn't mean you're not great. If the New England Patriots just played the Miami Dolphins for 16 games, they might go 16-0. We still would think that they're a darn good football team, even if they play a terrible schedule. Florida State in 2013, I always go back to Florida State in 2013. They played nobody that year. But they won by 42 points a game, and they were the best team in America because they beat Auburn in the championship game. Just because you play a bad schedule doesn't make you a bad team.
Oh, not at all. Now, it does affect where you are slotted, and that's fair. And that's where I have a problem with you know, Dabo Swinney and some of the stuff he was saying. I mean, it's fair to look at Clemson's schedule and say, well, you know, it's not their fault, but who have they beaten? But that shouldn't have any sort of bearing on what you think of the quality of the team. We know what the quality of the team is.
Yeah.
It's very high.
I tend to agree. And I do think Clemson is the team that – I think the difference – and this is where LSU and Ohio State – I don't know if LSU and Ohio State both win. I don't know if LSU jumps them. Their win would look better, obviously, but Wisconsin is ranked 8th right now, but you've already beaten them, so I don't know how the committee views that. If they beat Georgia, if LSU beats Georgia handily, could they get to number one? Because being number one this year
important
means way more than any other year. Because I'm telling you, you don't want to play Clemson.
Well, yeah, you don't want to
play Clemson.
It's the defending national champs and feeling disrespected. Yeah, I mean, you don't want to deal with that.
I know you're a little annoyed and tired of Dabo's shtick this year, and I get that. I totally understand that. I just think he's been doing it on purpose all season to keep his team focused. They didn't have the slip up this year. North Carolina played them very tough, but North Carolina's turned into a much better team than people thought. I just think you don't want to pissed off Clemson. you don't. And I picked Georgia over Clemson in the summer to win the national championship. I might be switching, but only to Clemson. I love LSU and Ohio State, but man, Clemson is good.
It really is going to be fascinating. If LSU, you know, let's just say like LSU wins by 10. Let's say Ohio State, you know, beats Wisconsin soundly,
sure.
14 plus, you know, good solid results for both. I mean, I still think that Ohio State's going to Michigan and winning by 30 should still carry a lot. I think Michigan got a lot better at the end of the year.
Aren't LSU's wins better? I mean, Texas is like their sixth best win.
Yeah.
They went on the road and beat Alabama.
And this is another one. Yeah, and this is another.
This would be another top five win.
It's also another one where you know, defense valued. That's been a thing with the committee at times. I mean, Ohio State has just trucked people, good people, to such extent. It's a fascinating.
Penn State's the only game that they really sort of were quote-unquote close. And it was
they fumbled it away.
And it was a double-digit win, like 28-17. I think Ohio State has been more dominant on defense. I think LSU's got the better, quote-unquote, resume. I think they've got better wins. Offensively, they're both elite. I mean, you could argue it both ways. My problem is the committee has sort of gone back and forth on it. One week it's, hey, better wins, resume. The next week it's more dominant. I don't think it's been consistent. I think Ohio State will stay at number one and LSU will be two. I just think that's your consolation prize for finishing number two is just a really brutal first round game. And if Utah or Oklahoma get in, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to them, but I think Ohio State, you know, that margin of victory, that point spread on 1 versus 4 is going to be very different.
Yeah.
I think Clemson could be favored against LSU.
They could be. But remember, when you say
Utah will be a 12-point underdog to Ohio State.
Now, that's a huge, huge deal to be 1 over 2. But remember, you say first round. I mean, it's 4 teams. So, you know, it's a national semifinal.
But I expect
a tough game.
But
it does speak to
– I agree with that. It does speak to, though, and I've talked to a lot of coaches about this, and they'll tell you that people have it all wrong when it comes to expansion. People think that when you expand, you're giving more teams a chance to win the championship. And coaches will tell you you're going to give less teams a chance to win the championship. Because you're asking them to win 3 games in the tournament, not 2, which is that much more difficult, but also your conference title game probably as well. So you're going to have to play 4 elite-level teams in a row to win the national title. And what coaches will tell you is that that's going to trim the field even further. That if you sure, somebody might get in that doesn't expect to get in, and they become a sacrificial lamb as an 8 seed. Like everyone's talking about Memphis. Memphis is a great team this year for a group of 5 team. If they beat Cincinnati, it will be a great season, and then Mike Norvell will take his plane down to Tallahassee and become the Florida State coach. But if Memphis was the 8 seed, we would celebrate them getting in.
Yeah, the playoff wouldn't be better.
And then what would happen?
All right, Ohio State would just behead them apart. Yeah,
they beat Cincinnati 42-0.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, if you went to 8-2, I mean. I don't like 8. I think you and I agree on this. How can you go to 8 and keep the conference championship games? You can't, can you?
Well, yeah, but Tony Barnhart said on the show, and then all the conferences are going to look back at their TV partners and go, that'll be $14 million, sir. Because that's what it's going to cost to get rid of that thing. I just think you need to, if you're going to go to 8 and you're going to go automatic bids, there needs to be a lot of other things that happen. You know, 10 conference games, 9 conference games, something like that. No FCS opponents at all, maybe only no G5 opponents. Like, you need to make the schedules as even and as tough as possible. Get rid of divisions so that 1 and 2 play each other like the Big 12. Like, you've got to do a lot more things before I say an automatic bid is okay. Because I don't want Pittsburgh at 6-6, 1 game away from trying to play for a national title.
Right.
I just don't think that's the right thing to do for college football. So we shall see. As it plays out, it should be a fantastic college football weekend and the NFL as well. We'll make some picks against the spread when we return right here on Morning Drive. The Titans will be playing a football game in the state of California. I don't know if you picked up on the theme musically on the show today, but the Titans will be in California.
And a little Red Hots tie in there.
Yes, there you go.
That's my Rock Band song, by the way. Like the guitar solo at the end of that song on Rock Band. You guys remember Rock Band? You guys have Rock Band?
I know what the I don't play video games anymore. That's children, but.
Well, okay. I mean, it's been a while.
I did really like Rock Band, though. It was fun.
And that was my song because of that guitar solo at the end.
You could nail it.
I'd put it on, like, whatever, Expert or whatever, and it was challenging.
What's the movie is it Couples Retreat with Vince Vaughn? Like, he's part of the creator of Rock Band, and he, like, tricks one of the guys who's one of the counselors on the island into playing him in a Rock Band guitar off, and he, like, just kills him.
I didn't see that one.
Anyway,
I like Swingers, though.
Back to the 90s. John Favreau's in it. He's one of the guys, one of the main characters in Couples Retreat.
He's also in those Marvel movies that you don't love.
He's not in them.
Yeah, he is.
Isn't he also the creator of the Mandalorian?
Yeah.
On Disney Plus? I've watched that.
That
dude's everywhere, dude. Oh, I love Favreau. Swingers and, the one in New York. What's the one I'm thinking of? Why am I drawing a blank?
I don't know, but he was in the underrated movie PCU.
him and Vince Vaughn in New York. Why am I drawing a blank on this? They get on the plane.
Marquise.
What am I? I know Marquise is like, guys, get
hey,
to
move
the content.
On.
Get to the content. Why? This is one of those where I feel so bad about myself.
Someone text it in. We need someone to text this in immediately.
So, we did have a winner on the text message contest giveaway there.
Yes, Fast Fingers. This is why, and hopefully, like we said earlier, if you're entering these contests, do not do it while you're driving. We're not responsible for that. But
text us.
And we've been getting a lot of responses, especially a lot of weird responses, like Purdue and Auburn. I don't know where you got that from. But the answer was Alabama, Virginia Tech.
Purdue and Auburn played like last year.
but that wasn't the first Music City Bowl.
No, I know.
But Kenneth Coleman, you won the tickets to go see the Music City Bowl this year. So congratulations to Kenneth Coleman.
Can people text photos?
Oh, I don't think we should open. No, I don't
someone,
think we should open
someone,
that.
Someone sent us a GIF, which was pretty awesome.
I'm okay with the GIFs. I'm concerned about the photos.
So you get,
I immediately am terrified.
Please send GIFs. Send the best GIFs ever.
Do not text us, Brett Favre.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, I had to go after your favorite Green Bay Packer.
Dude, listen. I have so many personal thoughts and feelings towards people sending photos to each other. Like, I don't think it should be inbounds for anyone ever to criticize anybody for ever sending a photo to a significant other. Now, Brett Favre didn't do that.
Yeah,
he was like badgering Jen Sturger at the time. But I think we live in a world where our phones now are everywhere and everyone's on pictures of everything. And if people are dating, like, I don't know. I don't think anyone should ever be. It should never be inbounds.
But you're playing with fire.
You got to teach kids about that stuff. I just don't think. What I communicate privately with another human being is my business, is, I guess, my point. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
All right, Cardiff Giant. I still can't remember the damn movie.
We still don't have that? No one's texted that answer?
I still cannot remember.
So wait, they're in New York? What is it? I don't even know what you're talking about. Vince
Vaughn? Made, yes. God, what am I? I cannot believe I forgot that
Shout
name.
Out to Jim.
I don't think I've seen
that.
Thank you,
Jim. Oh, my God. It's so good. Him and Favreau are like these two-bit gangsters from California that like are low, 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 low on the totem pole, have no business being involved in anything. Puff Daddy's in that. And they go up to New York, and like they're on this big mission, and they act. Vince Vaughn acts bigger than he really is. And
wait, what did you call him?
Vince Vaughn?
Did you call him? Well, no,
well but it was Puff at the time.
Oh, okay.
Because this movie would have been like 02,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, I mean, that 2000? Was his name at the time. So
okay, just make sure.
What do I call? What am I calling?
Just making
now?
Sure, man.
What do I call him?
Because in 2015, you could call him Diddy, just Diddy.
So he's Diddy with no P now, right?
Has he been Diddy since 2015? That's it.
Yeah, he has his timestamps on when he becomes.
Yeah, you know what? I don't care. I'll call him whatever the hell I want to call him. Okay, me and him aren't exactly interacting much right now.
Mama name you Puff Daddy. I'm gonna
call him Sean. Okay, is that fine?
That's fine.
Just call him Sean.
Mr. Combs.
All right, so we are not going to do Pigskin Pick'em. Pour one out for the homies that like to do Pigskin Pick'em. We're not going to do that today officially. It'll be an unofficial version of Pigskin Pick'em. We're going to pick the Titans game, and we're going to pick some conference championship games. You okay with that, Joe?
Sounds good.
Pour one out. Derek Mason is not here. He would normally give you over-unders for Liberty versus, you know, Bethune-Cookman.
I love his over-under fetish.
He hit like 60% this year, which is insane. So we're not going to do that. That's over. Picks against the spread. You know, we'll continue to look at these lines. I like Georgia in the points. Who do you like in the SEC? Give me Georgia plus 7.
I'm going to go LSU. And I think it's a good game that they tack one on late and win by like 10.
Backdoor cover.
Yep.
Ohio State, I believe a 16.5 point favorite. Is that correct? 16.5. Buckeyes, Wisconsin Badgers. Big Ten title game.
I mean, I've got to take Ohio State.
I'm also laying the points.
Like think back to that first half, Wisconsin, Ohio State. Wisconsin really, and early in the second, they got the tee. Like it was like,
10-7.
Yeah, you know they really quarter. Were right there, snap for snap with them,
and they actually got pressure on Justin Fields in that game, and then the final score was 38-7.
Yeah, I think it's probably the same kind of thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I think they can hang in for 35, 40 minutes, but. Again, a late cover for the Buckeyes.
I'll take
by 17, 20 points or so.
I will take the Buckeyes to roll there. You cannot beat Ohio State with one-dimensional offense. Virginia and Clemson. Clemson laying 28.5 points. Virginia has a super dynamic quarterback in Bryce Perkins and a pretty good defense. That's it. That's all.
I mean, 28.5 really. I mean, it does give you pause, right? Because this is one of those where it could go the other way, where it's like Clemson's up. You know, 49 to 14 and Virginia gets a garbage TD. But I think I have to go Clemson.
I'll take Virginia in the points.
Okay.
Virginia plus the 28.5 on that one as well. In the Pac-12 tonight, Utah and Oregon. Utah laying 6.5. I like the Utes to win big. Oregon's good, but they've sort of messed around with some teams all year. Utah has been far more dominant. They've got a far better defense. They're just as good at running the football and quarterback. I like Utah tonight to make it interesting for the committee on Sunday. But that game is tonight, 7 o'clock Central Time, in front of 11 people at Levi's Stadium.
Yeah. Well, Utah has incentive to do as much as you can do on the scoreboard tonight. They're going to win by 17-plus.
There you go. Utah laying the points for both of us. Baylor-Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game. Oklahoma laying 9. That started as a 10.5-point spread. People are on Baylor. I was on Baylor as well. I like Baylor plus the points. I think Oklahoma wins.
I think I will.
Baylor's good on defense now.
Yeah, but I will give the points. I think Baylor spent everything in a game they should have won at home against Oklahoma. And I think, again, it's playoff incentive plays into these things, and Oklahoma has to impress. And I think they will, and I will take them and give the points.
I like Baylor plus the points to keep it close, but I think Oklahoma wins. Memphis and Cincinnati. I'm going to add a group of five game because there's a very good possibility that Memphis is going to be the highest ranked group of five team and get themselves into a New Year's Six Bowl, which would be a really great accomplishment for the University of Memphis. It's just a huge step forward. Now, they might be losing their coach at the end of the year, which, again, I think he's earmarked for the Florida State job right now. They are a 9.5-point favorite. Should Cincinnati pull the upset, they would probably jump Boise State and become the highest group of five team and get to the New Year's Six. I just don't know how Brady White and Memphis lose the game. Give me Memphis, lay the points, and a New Year's Six Bowl for Memphis. How cool is that?
Very cool. And, yeah, probably the Cotton Bowl, and it's a fantastic season. Like you said, this is probably Mike Norvell's last month in the program. I'm going to take the points with the Bearcats. I think Luke Fickell's team, it's one of those things where you just beat them too, and sometimes that can play into their fan. I think they will keep this close. I think it will be a very good football game. I think Memphis will win a close football game.
They just played last week.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Rematch like that. So there are your picks against the spread. Tennessee Titans laying 2 at Oakland. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'll take the Titans and give the 2.
Okay,
I think the Titans continue
the four game winning streak.
I think the Titans win this game. 24-20, right around there, and advance. It will not be easy, but I think that I think offensively they've got that balance. And I think they'll do enough to get after Derek Carr and limit Josh Jacobs and get out of there with a win.
They should do all of those things, which leads me to believe that, of course, they won't. But they should do all of the things that you just said. And it is starting to set up for them better than we think. And I don't – again, people hate this sort of like team of destiny stuff. But when you're winning games against the Chargers with three goal line stands and multiple reviews, and Jameis Winston's giving you the ball inside the 10-yard line twice, and you block two kicks against the Chiefs and Colts to win games, the Chiefs have 6 field goal attempts, many of which go awry. You're winning games in like very improbable and impractical fashion. And outside of Jacksonville, where they dominated, at one point in the third quarter against the Colts, the Titans were down 17-7, and it looked like just another Colts game. They're winning games in ways that are very difficult to sustain. There's some team of destiny stuff that you could start to talk about if they got to Oakland and win. And then they come back with, hey, if you go 2 out of 3, you're probably in the playoffs. There's some destiny stuff there.
Destiny's predetermined.
Again, you remember, is it Chip Kelly that said that this year? Chip Kelly's like, we control our own destiny, but, destiny's predetermined, so can you really control your own destiny? No, you don't. Nobody controls their own destiny.
Not to be confused with Destiny's Child.
Very nerdy of Chip Kelly, of him.
Not to be confused with Destiny's Child.
No, I heard you the first
Continuing
time.
Continuing with the theme of the show.
Beyonce.
But they're not from California, are they?
No.
No, but it's 90s music. We're talking old music today.
Is that late 90s?
Yeah, I guess that would
Didn't
be.
Didn't they have an album?
Like Say My Name came out like 98, 99? Yeah, 98,
it's like 99. Right in my wife's high school wheelhouse, for sure. It was Destiny's Child. No question. No question about that. All right, enter now at thegamenashville.com contest page for your chance to win your loved one, the new Lexenhaus Day Spa in Franklin's holiday retreat package worth $415. You could receive a back, neck, and shoulder massage plus facial manicure and pedicure. Enter today at the contest page at thegamenashville.com. The new text line, I think it was a success today, boys. 615-737-1025 for all the shows. You can text everybody in. That's the best way I think you can get involved in the show from here on out. So big finish when we return. Joe Rexroad, Braden Gall here on Morning Drive. And when it comes to your internet, good enough doesn't cut it. Xfinity Internet. Internet's better because it streams better. Yeah, you heard that right. Introducing Xfinity Flex, a personalized streaming dashboard that puts all your favorites in one place so they're not scattered across a bunch of apps. It's searchable with your voice, so all you have to say is play romantic comedies, and it plays romantic comedies. Plus, it has over 10,000 free shows and movies. Search less and watch more with the voice-controlled streaming device that's made for you. It's not just easy, it's effortless. And now it's included with Xfinity Internet for no additional cost. That is simple, easy, and awesome. Get Xfinity Internet for $20 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement and add a Flex 4K streaming device for no additional cost. It's two amazing services for the price of one. Go to Xfinity.com/Flex. That's Xfinity.com/Flex. Call 1-800-XFINITY or visit an Xfinity store today. Offer ends 1-7-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment taxes and fees extra and subject to change after term. Regular rate supply. Big finish when we come back. Morning Drive here, wrapping up the Friday edition. Joe Rexroad in for Derek Mason. It's been a pleasure hanging out with you, sir. Marquise Munson, it's time for the big finish and the Daily Rewind. Let's get it started. Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. My name is Braden Gall. Marquise Munson, a.k.a. just Munson, when he's sitting in that chair right there behind the glass producing Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's just Munson. Or last night at the Christmas party, for example, he was just Keese, I believe. What are you at the Christmas party? I know you're Keese on the dates. Or are you Marquise on the dates?
No. We talked
so
about
confused,
this so
Marquise.
Many times.
I know.
I am Marquise with a symbol on my dates.
Does the Q have like a little...
Yes.
Like a prince symbol?
Yeah, pretty much.
So you're Marquise on dates. You're Keese when you're out partying with Chase McCabe.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Absolutely.
So you were technically out partying with Chase McCabe last night, in theory, at a Christmas party for our company. Did Keese come out or did it just stay Munson?
Hey, Keese always comes out to party, man.
That's my boy.
Well, once happy hour hits, Keese is out to play.
Which brings us to the third member of our show today, Joe Rexroad from The Athletic, in hanging out for Derek Mason, who's, I don't think he's under the knife today. I believe that's going to be next week, but he is, I think he's under the knife consultation today, I believe. Am I violating HIPAA laws by telling everybody that he's going to have shoulder surgery? Is that
okay? I was just going to ask, like, what's the surgery? The shoulders, this is a, I assume this is a football, going back to football stuff?
So, look at these, you see the TV. The TV's in the studio. We've got two smaller TVs and one giant one, and they're near the ceiling, so a normal sized man can reach up and change the volume.
Right.
I have seen him not be able to reach up and change the volume.
Man.
So if you ever want to know about what an NFL player's life is like, and he does everything under the sun to like preemptively avoid that kind of stuff as a player, it's really actually I give him a ton of credit for it. Since the Titans, these numbers, by the way, are since the Titans became a franchise in Tennessee. So since they moved here in 97, 5-17, basically in the Pacific time zone. I don't know what you make of that. I don't know if it has any impact on the game this weekend. I mean, it certainly has to stick in the back of fans' minds, but I don't know how much it matters to Mike Vrabel and Ryan Tannehill and Arthur Smith. Teron Davenport onto the show. Teron, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I think it is overblown as far as going East Coast to West Coast because basically an afternoon game. So the guys have to treat this like it's a 3 o'clock game. The teams that I covered in the past on the true East Coast, you know, Philly, Baltimore, they've looked at it as if, okay, we're going out there, it's going to be just like a 4:05 game, and that's how we're going to approach it. That's what they've said. So I think that's what this Titans team has to do, and I get it. You know, historically they've had a bad record going over there, but a lot of these guys weren't on those teams, you know, outside of the ones that lost to the 49ers the last time they went out there. So I wouldn't put too much stock in it. Frankly, it's more of a thing when teams are going from West Coast to East Coast. That is overall throughout the NFL what the problem has been. I think end of the day, you just got to line up and play football and just be ready.
Josh Ward from WNML in Knoxville.
Overall, it was a good job by Jeremy Pruitt and his coaching staff, and there is something to having a bad start and then getting things turned around, having players, veterans, guys who don't have much time left to continue to buy in. That all happened. And then, I thought they did a really good job within certain games, be able to either handle adversity like the Kentucky game where they came back from a 10-point deficit the Missouri game, Tennessee, I thought, was largely outplaying the Tigers, making mistakes and still held on in the fourth quarter. That's something that I don't think Tennessee would have been able to do in the first month of the season. So the improvement was a part of that. Now it's about what you do moving forward. Certainly happier with Jeremy Pruitt now than they were 2 months ago. And then next year, Tennessee will go in to the season with higher expectations. And a year from now, if we're talking about Tennessee being 7-5, fans are probably not as happy as they are right now. So that's why I say that a lot of it is, what do you do next?
On the text line, blowing up today, Marquise. Is that what the kids are saying still these days? Blowing up? If I just say hit my line, you think our audience is going to know what that means?
Hit my line. Well, I don't know if the audience will. I know. I do. I know what it means.
So everyone under 30 will know that means shoot us a text message.
Yeah, just hit my
but
line.
But everyone over 30 is not going to have a clue what you're talking about. A little shot at Stillman on the text line as well.
Good.
You can keep those coming. That's fine.
There's going to be plenty
of those. That's fine. Yeah, I got no problem with that.
We should have a whole segment on Stillman shots.
Listen.
Or Folder.
I've called him enough names. I think people don't realize that I have a lot of respect for Jared Stillman. He works incredibly hard. He's very talented. I think he overreacts to everything, and Floyd keeps him in line, by and large. But
very entertaining.
Do you know all the names of the show that we've called?
Definitely heard some. Gosh, remind me. I laughed out loud driving the kids to school.
So somehow it started with Sprinkles, and I don't know how it started. I called Jared Stillman Sprinkles because of this story. So there's a tight end for Arkansas who's named Jeremy Sprinkle who got arrested for stealing more merchandise from Belk while at the Belk Bowl.
Like the gift bag? He took an extra gift bag?
He had his $200 gift card and used it and then took some more stuff.
Hey.
So stealing
from... He was on a roll.
I just think it's the funniest thing in the world. Stealing from Belk while being at the Belk Bowl and given free Belk merchandise. Terrence Arthur Crisp joining us here.
You know what? I love P.K. Subban. I think that P.K. Subban is here. He brought enthusiasm, brought a different outlook on life, on the hockey game. He knows where he's going. He knows what he had to do. And for charity, et cetera, I enjoy it. And anytime you talk to P.K. or go anywhere with him, he was always, always great with people. He'd sign autographs, take pictures. People just love to be with him. So from the standpoint of view of what did he bring to your team, he brought a presence that people appreciate. That people enjoy being around him and being with him. So from that point of view, I enjoyed PK. His hockey, I think last year in the playoffs, he was probably one of our best players.
70s were definitely better than the 80s.
And that's all I'm getting at when I rip on the 80s. Yeah. It's just that the 70s were better. And then we had the 90s grunge rock revolution, which changed music forever, along with hip-hop revolution. It all happened in the early 90s, and the 80s sort of get lost in the middle. That's all.
Hey, I mean, 1991 is probably like the best music year ever.
Oh, unbelievable.
You know, so no, I mean, like Nirvana, I'm a teenager, Nirvana, when that came out. I love it.
Pearl Jam,
but I'm just
House
saying,
of Chains.
There is some great rock and hip-hop in the 80s that should not be Tony Basil Mickey, okay? I mean, there's other stuff.
There was a lot of yacht rock and hair metal.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I know. And I kind of like both, too. But hey, whatever.
Oh, the Daily Rewind there. Part of the Big Finish. We got Preds, Devils coming up Saturday night. P.K. Subban's return. Cheer for P.K. Subban, please. I don't think we need to tell people that. I think that will happen. A little tribute there probably in the first period as well. Titans. I hate the afternoon kickoff. I hate the 3 o'clock kickoff, but Titans, Raiders, 3 o'clock kickoff. You got SEC football and conference championship football starting tonight, running through tomorrow. You can hear the Big 12 title game right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So all kinds of huge stuff coming up this weekend. Playoff rankings come out Sunday, and we'll be back Monday morning to break it all down. Joe, thank you so much for hanging out, man. It was a pleasure.
I had a blast. You guys have always got to have a Michigan State grad on this show every morning, so we kept that alive. I had a blast. You guys, we need to do a music show together, and also we need to get the basketball
podcast
going back again. There you go. Music
podcast.
We'll
do a college basketball hip-hop podcast.
That could be big.
There you go. Also, the text line now, 615-737-1025. You can text in all your questions, comments, concerns, all that good stuff. For Marquise, my name's Braden Gall. Joe Rexroad sitting in for Derek Mason. Thanks for listening, everybody. You got to do the thing over there, Joe. You got to say, Bailey, DJ Nashville,
I love you.
There you go. All right, everybody. Have a good weekend.